This is Worldviews. I'm Rebecca Cruz. Paul Good, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, we've been paying attention this last couple of months, like about 3 months, to the situation in Ukraine. And then here this last week, things turned quite violent. And so we wanted to have you into the show and talk about this a little bit. To start with, we are getting a very specific narrative here in the West. We're hearing about the protesters, the government response. Is this the accurate narrative? What is actually going on in the ground that you've been able to learn about? And you know, maybe even talk a little bit about what the Russian narrative is in all this.
Well, there are competing narratives in the Western media as well as in the Russian media. To a large extent, those two media narratives don't have a lot with what is actually happening on the ground. The Western media is very captured by the notion that this is a choice between Ukraine leaning towards Russia or leaning towards the EU. It sort of fits within this Cold War trope that's been persistent for the last 20 years. The Russian media narrative is very much informed by the Russian government's perspective of what it sees happening in the post-Soviet space, particularly with reference to the Orange Revolution in 2004. The Orange Revolution, of course, was an attempt to restore fairness to Ukrainian elections, which brought Viktor Yushchenko to power. It was the putative villain in the Orange Revolution, Viktor Yanukovych, that is now today's president in Ukraine. And Russia has always viewed the Orange Revolution as an unconstitutional attempt to overthrow an existing legitimate government. Also, from Russia's perspective, too, what is happening in Ukraine is pretty much Putin's worst nightmare. This is absolutely what Putin wants to avoid. And so Ukraine's current crisis serves essentially as a cautionary tale that the Kremlin likes to tell Russians about: if you do not support the current regime, this is potentially what you risk if you support the opposition.
Now, can you foresee Russia getting more involved than they already are? Could we see troops on the ground in this sort of situation?
Realistically, it does not seem like it would be even remotely in Russia's interest. Now, the one case we have of Russia's military involvement beyond its borders since the collapse of the Soviet Union really has been the war with Georgia in 2008. The circumstances that provoked that war are not present right now. The one case which has been potentially contentious has been the situation in Crimea. Crimea is not like the rest of eastern Ukraine. Crimea is 90% Russian. It used to be part of Russia. It was gifted to Ukraine by Nikita Khrushchev back in the 1950s. And Crimea's parliament has periodically made statements opposed to what is happening on the Maidan and even requesting that Russia help to intervene. A high-placed Russian official has apparently claimed that if there was a violent civil war that broke out in Ukraine, that Russia might actually intervene on behalf of Crimea. But nothing that Putin has said, nothing that the government has officially said that is willing to have attributed, has even indicated that that would be remotely in Russia's interest. Okay. And quite frankly, I think from Russia's perspective, from a realpolitik perspective, Russia doesn't have to do anything to continue benefiting from the situation. Mm-hmm. Certainly intervening would damage Russia's reputation internationally, as well as domestically, much more so than letting the events play out as they are.
Well, you mentioned the Crimea, and we've been seeing a lot of photos from Kyiv. So it seems like everything is focused on Kyiv, but that's not the entire situation, right? This is a large country, and it's a much more complex situation.
That's right. And as you mentioned, the first wave of protests back in November were really focused just on the Maidan and Kyiv. The second wave of protests that followed the adoption of some rather harsh anti-protester laws in January spread well outside of Kyiv. So you had actually protesters taking control of regional administrative offices across western Ukraine as well as in parts of central Ukraine. We're seeing this happen once again, starting in Lvov and also moving towards central Ukraine, as now even members of Berkut, the elite special services forces that are used for anti-riot duties, are starting to defect over to the opposition sides, mayors disavowing their membership in the Party of Regions. And so this is definitely a national phenomenon. It is not so widespread in the eastern portions of Ukraine, which is the power base for the current regime, for Yanukovych's regime in Donetsk. But there are also not people out demonstrating on the streets in support of the regime either.
Where do you think we're going to head in this? Is this going to end relatively soon? Is this going to be long and drawn out? And what is the end point?
It definitely does not end soon. The violence may end soon, and one hopes that it will, obviously. But regardless, the point at which the regime has reached is clearly a point to no return insofar as any concessions that Yanukovych makes at this point to the opposition will be greeted with a great degree of distrust They will require some sort of external mediation. There will be arguments over who should be the external mediators. The degree to which Russia will be involved will be contested. The degree to which the European Union will be involved will be contested. And, of course, the opposition itself. Opposition leaders, political leaders in Ukraine have not been driving events, but they will be the people turned to resolve a constitutional crisis. They have different agendas once you get beyond the common platform of opposing Yanukovych. And accommodating those agendas is going to be extremely difficult.
Okay. Well, we will continue to watch this story. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.